Blog Talk Radio.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, April the 11th. Thursday, April the 11th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a powerful, powerful show scheduled for you today. Yesterday, we talked about, you know, the whole negative aspect of, you know, being negative, being, you know, depressed, you know, being downtrodden, being lost, basically. So today we want to talk about the opposite side of that coin. We want to talk about today one of the things that is really important, I think, when we're talking about establishing or removing this brokenness that we see prevalent today that overrides this negative, or this evil that exists in the world today, and that is being whole, being clarinomics. Having a clarinomic mindset. That means having a holy mindset or having a whole mindset. That means being optimistic. It means being happy. It means being positive. It means being good. It means being God. And the ability to be whole, to be optimistic, to be happy, to be positive, to be good, to be God, doesn't require a lot of energy or effort. It just requires us to over and understand some of the basics that we're going to kind of go through today. And I broke down a talk about some of this inside of my book, Being God. And the word, you know, God says one thing that's extremely important. When we look inside of the scripture gives us a good definition of one of the things that God says that he is. And there's a lot of statements that we look at when God says, you know, that he is. But one of the things that stands out is God is love. So at the end of the day, in addition to God being spirit, God being life, but God specifically is love. Notice it didn't say that God created love. It says that God is love. So when we talk about 1 John 4:7, where we get that verse that talks about, you know, God's beingness. And we talked about that on yesterday when we talked about the word being. And the word being is a maintained mental disposition. So when we say God is love, what we are saying is we're maintaining what is called theophilosophy or theophilia, which means love of. It means friend of. It means having a being or a sense of. It means having or showing the understanding of. So we're talking about this aspect of being something that is the opposite talked about yesterday. So every morning you wake up, you have a choice as to who you choose to be. So you can be lost. You can be separated. You can be negative. You know, you can be angry. You can, you know, you can be evil. You can be, you know, the anti. You can be, it's all a choice. Now, there are things, again, that influences that choice, and we talked about that yesterday as well. So we are not ignoring the, you know, overwhelming adversity that one goes through this thing that we call life, but it still boils down to you making a choice or making a decision as to what or how you choose to oscillate or vibrate. And that is the decision of understanding what I call cleronomics. So when I started, one of the, you know, before we got into the life management, we started with the cleronomics temple builders, DNA blueprint. And this, again, is the 12 principles of cleronomics that allows to establish a mental disposition that cannot be controlled. So this is what is called holistic cleronomics integration. Now, the ability, and again, I have all of this is a part of the life management system, and everybody already has this informing or this information inside of module one. But today we want to talk about the implementation of this selective. Notice it's selective, meaning that it requires you to make a choice. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have a choice today, and you get to select whether or not you want to engage in this transformative way of thinking that I've broken down and discussed inside of my book, The Cleronomics Temple Builders. And everybody has that book. And if you don't have it, just email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Email address again, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Whether you're a member or not, I will send you that book for free. Because in that book, it breaks down what we now call the life management system. And the reason I changed the name from the Cleronomics Temple Builders DNA Blueprint for Success, because again, that's a mouthful. And a lot of people get, again, lost in language that they can't understand. For me, when I see a word I don't understand, I look it up. But when a lot of people, they see a word that they cannot understand or a word that is new, they ignore it. And they continue to read the sentence, which means you have incomprehension. And so instead of continuing to distance or cause more cognitive dissonance, because cognitive dissonance is the issue that's going on, and the opposite of cognitive dissonance is cognition, which is the result of what we're talking about today. So step number one, to override everything we talked about yesterday, which is this, you know, separated, you know, evil, angry, you know, pessimistic, negative disposition that is automatic. You ain't got to do nothing. You just wake up in the morning, bam, that's how you feel. Then you got to choose, okay, am I going to stay pessimistic today? Am I going to stay angry? Am I going to stay upset? Am I going to stay distanced? Am I going to stay separated? Are you going to stay in that mental disposition? Now, since most of us, we don't make a conscious, now this is all unconscious. Everything I'm talking to you today is unconscious. So you got to be, you got to make a conscious effort to override the unconscious brain. If you do not, that reptile is going to stay in charge, because the reptile is based upon repetition that was previously administered probably way back like 10 years ago. And so 10 years ago, you established a mental disposition, maybe 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe a year ago. All I know is that there is a routine in your brain that, that has been done because you repeated something over time. And so that repetition, remember, anything that is frequently repeated and produces an emotional charge, okay, that's going to run the life. That's the program. So you are programmed for failure, or you're programmed for success. But the programmers programmed you with predictive programming. And they did that through exposure therapy. And through exposure therapy, you've been unknowingly or unwittingly participating in the act of programming yourself by exposing yourself. Since you've exposed yourself to certain programming, certain television programs, certain music, certain food, certain places, you've unwillingly or unknowingly participated in the learned helplessness. So now you've learned how to be negative. You wasn't born that way, but you learned it, and you learned it very well, because the system that's in place, they got a very, very, very good system in place that's designed to keep you trapped in Groundhog's Day, so that every day you wake up, you're always oscillating and vibrating in that negative disposition. And a lot of us, we do this without even understanding. It's automatic. Automatically wake up, but because you don't challenge the disposition, it's automatic. And because the disposition is unconscious, that is, that's the smoking gun. The smoking gun is the disposition is unconscious. Now, if it was not unconscious, you could address it. But since it's unconscious, by the time you figure it out, it's about 11, 12, 1 o'clock. Now, you wake up in the morning, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Some people wake up, you know, 4 or 5, whatever time you wake up in the morning. And you wake up pissed off. But you don't know you pissed off, because remember, it is unconscious. You just wake up and you go brush your teeth, you know, hey, take a shower. You're just doing your thing. And then you get in your car and things start to go wrong. You forgot your keys, you're running late, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and then, boom, the unconscious comes to the subconscious. But it's still not conscious. So you're still not aware. You're still unaware that you're not aware. Because remember, this is autopilot. There's not a person on this call that can tell me that you got up this morning and you stopped and you thought, should I get up? Should I brush my teeth? Should I wash my face? Should I put on makeup? But all of that's automatic. It's just a matter of what am I going to brush my teeth with? Am I using, you know, peroxide and baking soda? Am I using toothpaste that got fluoride in it, even though I know fluoride is not good for me? But you know what? I'm too lazy to go buy something or mix up my own stuff. So, yeah, I'm just going to use the fluoride. You know, but you know, this goes on unconscious. And you said, okay, am I going to use the same towel I used yesterday? All of this is going on the same way that this is on autopilot. Now, when you woke up this morning, did you say, okay, heart, let's go, start beating? No. Did you wake up this morning and say, okay, let's go, let's start breathing. Let me set my breathing rhythm or rate today. I'm going to breathe at 65 heartbeats per minute today because, you know what, I'm going to be cool and laid back. Did you do that? No. All of that's automatic. The same, your disposition is no different. Your disposition is unconscious unless you bring it into the conscious. Unless you say, disposition, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to give you my attention. And if you don't give that disposition your attention, it's going to give you its attention. And I guarantee you, your disposition is going to run your life. And by the time you figured out, you can curse somebody out, you didn't freaking ran off the road, you run into something, you've ate something in a rush and in a hurry that you knew it has no nutritional value, but you know what, hey, I ain't got time to actually fix me nothing healthy. You just put on something that's either too tight, too loose, you know, dirty, wrinkled, or whatever. So you're going out the house and you're looking, you know, a little cray-cray, but you know what? Hey, you're on autopilot. By the time you figure all of this out that's going on, man, it's already 12, 1 o'clock in the day. And then you said, oh, hell, shit, I'm already out here now. I ain't going home and change. Oops, I even forgot to brush my teeth. Let me see. Ooh, man, breath is a little stank, but I'm just going to pop a mint. So we just go through life on autopilot. We never stop and demand cleronomics. Now, that the reason that I wrote that whole book that breaks down how the temple, it caused a lot of confusion. That's one of the reason I changed the name. Just like even my name, just saying Master Teacher 33, you know, all these niggas around here talking about, that brother's a Freemason. And then by saying temple builders, I'm just like, yeah, I told you the brother was a Freemason. So I had to change it because I just got tired of people asking me the question. But once you understand, because cleronomics, as I have on my website, comes from the Greek kleros. And kleros means the household management of the soul. And the soul is the mind, the will, emotion, imagination, intellect. If you have any negativity in your life right now, you have not managed your soul. Your soul is possessed. But today, they don't call it possessed. Today, you know, we new age now. We educated now. You know, we ain't house Negroes now. We off the plantation. So they don't call it possessed. No, you process now, homie. You're a process Negro. You got your little education, got your nice job, a nice car. You still process, though, homeboy. You still process. You're still engaged in the process. But you're not aware of that process. And that process is called control. And you've been controlled. Now, whether you agree with me a lot or not is irrelevant. I got something called proof. I can just watch you. And I see that you are performing the duties of a trained monkey. Now, again, I'm just a messenger. Now, because remember, everything I'm sharing with you, I've already did. So this is my message. I just invited you to listen. So I have a 7-part series called Selective Cleronomics. If anybody listening to me that's interested in that series, just email me. Again, no charge, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. I will send you what's in Module 1 for my life management system and the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center that I send all my clients. Most of them probably don't even listen to it. But I send it to them anyway. So that way, when we do the one-on-ones and we talk about, hey, why am I in Groundhog's Day? I already know why. And then I'm going to ask them, hey, did you remember Module 1 when I sent you those modules that help you identify your negative habit pattern, which is not negative? It's a current habit pattern. But you like it because it's comfortable, and comfortability produces false confidence. So when you run up against those little imps in your neighborhood, you feel good because you're going to wax them little suckers. But then after you finish them little devils, then you got to deal with, the prince. You got to deal with some principalities. You got to deal with wickedness. You got to deal with that viceroy in your neighborhood. And, yeah, see, he's been running the game for thousands of years. He ain't going to punk out. Trust me, he's going to bust you in the mouth. And then that's when you got to have something called dunamis power. Because if you don't have no dunamis power, you're going to get drugged. I'm just going to keep it real. You're going to get your ass spanked. And it's not your fault because we're not prepared. It's like when I went down, and talked with my little nephew that was having a meltdown. Went by Austin, hung out with my son for a little while. And then I went down it's very difficult for a woman to raise a boy. It is. I mean, I don't know how can a single woman teach a black man, especially. So as I told my daughter, my sister, when my nephews were babies, like, you can't do that to a boy. You can't allow him not to do nothing. You cannot just let him play video games all day. You don't even cry. You cannot not. Well, he don't even take out the trash. Nigga don't even wash his own plate. He don't. What did he do? You can't raise a boy like that. And then when he get old, then just all of a sudden expect him just to know how to be a man by osmosis. So when I went there and talked to him, I already knew what was going on. And I immediately told him how he feel. Same thing I do with every client. So you ain't got to tell me because I already know, because I already been through it. I already know that he was being asked to do something without being trained, without being shown how to do it. Now, see, I have a problem with that, too. Because in most of the jobs, they just throw you in there and they say, oh, yeah, boy, go over there and do this, that, and the other. We're going to come back and check on you. Okay, I never drove a forklift before. Or I've never, you know, I never did inventory control. I never did. So y'all not going to give me no training. You're going to put me in a job, and then you're going to wonder why I failed. Then you're going to write me up, and then you're going to fire me. Because, again, I had no prior proper planning that would prevent this piss poor performance. So we are all not being whole. We are not being optimistic. We're not being and beaming happy. We're not being positive. We're not being good because we're not being God, because God is love. But we don't love ourselves. We don't love who we are being. We don't love what we're doing, and we surely don't love what we're having. So in order for us to understand, okay, like that all sounds good on paper, brother, but you don't understand. Now, boo-boo, I understand. The one thing about having a lot of life experiences, the one thing that about being homeless, you know, about moving 25 times, having 58 jobs, 23 failed businesses, living around the country, you know, being divorced, being homeless 3 times. The one thing about all of those experiences is you run into a lot of devils. And you can spot them suckers on another freaking planet. Now, for other people, the devil can con them. He can't con me. He can't con. He can't swindle. He's a large, clumsy demon. So without understanding the 12 principles inside of my book, The Blueprint for Success, your dog don't hunt. And I tell people this every day. And you think people listen? No. But like I told my children, when I told them, I don't think y'all should drink, you know, especially drive, especially my oldest daughter. And she's like, okay, Dad. And then she drunk and she drive. Then what happened? I get a call in the middle of the night. Then my oldest son told him the same thing. I told all my kids that. Do you think they listen? No. But now they all got something called experience. Experience is a great teacher. That's why I do not deny. I highly, if somebody say, man, you want to go do what? Okay, you do? Man, knock yourself. In fact, I'll help you out if I can. I have no problem with people crashing and burning, because that's the best teacher. You can tell people, hey, man, that sign that says, you know, 30 miles an hour going around that curve is there because if you drive faster than 30 miles an hour, you can't keep the car on the road and you're going to drive off the cliff. No, man, I can take the turn doing 60. Okay, boo-boo, you go ahead. And then I'll just get my popcorn and I just watch. It's a good show. Trust me, it's a good show. I watch my kids all the time and I just sit back and I just watch. You think they listen to me? And I tell them. My sons can't look me in the eye and say, Dad, you did not prepare me for life. Now, they can tell other people, and other people will believe them, but I know my dad didn't do shizness. That sucker didn't do nothing. And so some people, and this is what my nephew told me, was like, you are a great father. Now, my own children ain't even told me that, but my nephew can see what I've done for my children. Now, they may not can see it, and they may try to sell that bullshit to somebody else, but I know I was a good father because I didn't have a father. Out understanding how to exercise cladonomics, you're going to experience the four demons of disposition. There are four major areas in your life, and these day moons control all of the four major areas of success. So wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships are controlled by four mental dispositions. They con, swindle, troll, large, clumsy demon. So it's a large, clumsy demon. He's a troll, and he's swindling you. So right now, there's nobody that can look me in the eye and tell me I am not wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship. I was telling my oldest daughter just, you know, a couple of days ago. She, you know, got a new house, and she was little. You know, her verbiage wasn't, like, giddy. It wasn't holistic. It wasn't optimistic. It wasn't happy. It wasn't positive. It wasn't good. It wasn't God. God is omnibenevolent, period. Drop mic, exit stage left. No other attribute. No other characteristic. He only sends benevolence. Now, if you are receiving a signal that is not benevolent, that is not from the real G. That's from a little G. And unfortunately, people say, well, you know, God, no, boo-boo, God ain't testing you. God didn't send you that cancer. He didn't send you that poverty. He didn't send you none of that bullshitness that the Reverend Dr. Bishop told you. Well, you know, brother, just hang on. Come back next Sunday. Put some money in the offering plate. And your blessing, just come back next Sunday. That's not the big G. The big G is omni. Now, again, I've broken all this down. It's inside of my book, Being God. Now, I don't know if you understand what omni means. I love that word omni. That's one of the most powerful words in the English language. And I'm not talking about, you know, the Omni Hotel. Omni simply means always. Omni means in all ways, it means in all places, and it means in all things. Now, if you can wrap your brain around that, totally destroys all of the issues and the concerns that you have in your life. Because God is always, and he's in all places, and he's in all things. But the question is, can you see God in the midst of your adversity? And see, most people can't see God. That's why they can't be God. If you can't see it, you can't be it. See, so in the midst of all of my poverty, in the midst of all of my calamities, in the midst of everything that I've been through, I could always see God. I could always see good in evil, always. In the midst of working in that supermax prison, I could find a little string, it was just barely flickering, but it was there. I could always see holistic. I could always see optimistic. I could always see happy. I could always see positive. I could always see good, and I could always see God. Because God is in all things. He's everywhere. He's all knowing. He's our power. He's our presence. He's our simplistic, and he's all benevolent. Now, the word benevolent simply means kind-hearted. It means warm-hearted. It means tender-hearted. It means big-hearted. It means good-natured. It means tolerant. It means compassionate. It means sympathetic. It means considerate. That's the word of late there. Considerate. It means thoughtful. It means helpful. So it means charitable. So what you got going on in your life, if it doesn't contain those attributes and characteristics, that is not God. God is the mental disposition that is marked by being, by beaming, and then by bonding good. That is God. God is good. So when bad things happen, they're only bad by definition. They're not bad by God. So arrogance is the day moon that controls wealth. You show me a man that having a money problem or a woman, I'm going to show you an arrogant individual. Arrogant. That's the day moon. That's the diamond. That's the demon that controls wealth. If you're arrogant, you just tongue kiss the devil in the mouth. You're going to have something called poverty, guaranteed. Arrogance is the key to poverty. What is the demon that controls health? Victimhood. You show me any Negro or non-Negro on this freaking planned net that got any kind of a health issue, I'm going to show you a Negro or a non-Negro that's a victim. Guaranteed. Every person that got a health problem, they're a victim. Now, when I say victim, what does that mean? Because remember, it's victimhood. It's what we talked about yesterday. It's a process. Nobody starts off as a victim. Everybody starts off just like me, which is, why me? We start off by what everybody do. We all start off by we asking questions, okay, why me? Now, we don't take responsibility. We just say, why me? Now, there are some people, I know what you're thinking. There are some people that are born with in infirmities. And just like in the Bible when they said, okay, which man sinned, his mother or father, why was this man born blind or born this way or born that way? And remember what that scripture says in the Bible? It said he wasn't born for this, that, or the other. He was born so that way the father can receive the glory. So sickness is for victory. It's not for a victim. Now, that's tough. That's tough if you say, you know, it's like the guy that rock climbing dude that's now the head of making, and again, I'm not really a fan of this whole combining humanity with technology. However, this dude took a tragedy. He lost both legs, and now he's a multi-billionaire. He lost both legs, and he's a multi-billionaire after he lost both legs, and he was a rock climber. I talked about him before. I forgot the name. I didn't bring up the reference. But this dude, you know, while rock climbing, he lost both legs. So he's in a place where if anybody can be negative, angry, pissed off, depressed, everything we talked about yesterday, this dude should be that. He lost both legs while rock climbing. Then after he lost both legs, he decided, because he couldn't find no prosthetics that, you know, fit and allowed him to run. Hugh Herr, that's his name. I knew it would come to me. He was a rock climber. Now he's an engineer. And I remember he did everything after. Before that, he was just a young knucklehead walking around. You know, his purpose was rock climbing. That's what he thought. And remember, traumatic event, boom, always reveals purpose. Your most persistent problem is your most profitable product. See, right now, you're going to easy street. I know comfortability gives false confidence until you meet that demon called poverty, called sickness. Now, remember, that's four dispositions that control the four main areas of success, which is not success, but currency, which is mean current chi. That means that your chi, that's your, the animating principle of the body, must be current. Yours is not. Neither is mine. Now, it's getting there. Because, you know, like I told you guys that yesterday, was it yesterday, day before yesterday, I still got the receipt of that $874,885.574 that was deposited into my account. That's like $750,000. Remember what I've been saying, I'm going to be a millionaire? Now, again, a lot of people would say, well, brother, which it wasn't, that money wasn't mine, but that money was mine. That money is mine. And it's not mine because of that. It's mine because of the blueprint. It's mine because of my mental disposition. It's mine because I can see it. And so, remember, arrogance controls wealth. The demon that controls, in order for you to stay in poverty, you got to be arrogant. That means you're unteachable. That means head as hard as a brick. Now, I've already been there. I got two T-shirts and the trophy for the most hard-headed fool on the planet. Now, I listen to everybody. I learn from ants, trees, rocks. If the squirrel comes to my window, I'm going to stop and watch him. And I'm going to learn something. Now, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, you couldn't tell me nothing. Head was hard as a brick. That's why it took me 50 years to get here. Arrogance is the key to poverty. Victimhood is the key to sickness. Because you're a victim. Because something bad happened to you, or something did happen, and you don't take ownership. You're not taking responsibility for your own health. You're not doing the shizness that you. Now, even if you're born with something, you can still do exactly what, you know, my boy that lost both limbs did. You can take lemons and you can make lemonade. Now, I'm not saying that. All I'm simply saying is whatever calamity that you're in, you got to see God in it. You got to be able to see. You got to be optimistic. The glass must be half full. In fact, the glass must be full. It must be overflowing. Because the Father wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. But if you're a victim, if this is not just, if you feel like, you are the whipping boy. Now, remember, you cannot talk to me about victimization. Now, you can talk to a lot of other people. They're going to buy it. This dude right here, I was a victim of love. Y'all don't understand. Like I loved being a victim because it got me a lot of attention. Girls like that too. They like taking care of little Negroes, you know. Oh, poor dude. Oh, your mama died when you was young. Oh, you were raised in a cult. Oh, you got beat. Oh, you can say, oh yeah, here you go. See that scratch on my back right now? That's where the iron fell on my back. You still got the imprint on my back. Oh man, I used to milk it. I remember my wife told me that you carry that around like a badge of courage. That was the first time when I started, like, you know what? It might be time to stop being a damn victim. Now, see, you can talk to other people who ain't been through it, but you cannot look me now. Now, you can text me, but you can't look me in the eye and say, Doc, I'm a victim. Then, Doc, the white man got his foot now, boo boo. I'm not the one. You can't talk to me. No. See, a victim, when you're a victim, A victim means that you've been tricked. It means you've been duped. It means somebody has lied to you. And you remember, a victim is a liability. A liability is somebody who believes the lie about their ability. Because a victim means that you're handicapped. And if you're handicapped, that means that I've handed you a cap on your ability. I handed it, and you put that cap on. It's like a handicap. Hand him a cap. $12, that's all you can make. You got the glass ceiling, bro. That's all you can make is $12. Why? You believe the lie that says you can only make $12. Therefore, you can't take responsibility. You got ability, but you can't respond to it. So now, since you can't take any responsibility for yourself and you believe the lie about your ability, now you're handicapped. And so now you got to go hang out with that demon called victimhood. Victimhood means that there was something adverse that, like we talked about yesterday, remember, broken, in order to be broken, it must be violent. There must be a violent separation from something that you've grown attached to emotionally. And because it was taken, oh, you're a victim now. You've been harmed. You've been injured. Something caused. Now, it wasn't you. It's always another person. A victim always blames someone else. The victim must have an scapegoat. It's never their fault. They can't take responsibility for themselves. Oh, hell no. A victim, you did it to me, man. See, y'all don't understand. When I was a little dude, when I was, oh, wow. I just hate even thinking about it. Because I started with God. My anger first was, but what? That fool took my mama right when I needed it. She was the only person that liked me. And she barely liked me. I think my mama just put her with me because I was a son. My little badass, nobody liked me. And so when my mama died, oh, man, God, why'd you do that? What, are you slow? Oh, I was pissed off. Y'all don't even understand. And then I go to an orphanage. I stayed there. At least, at the orphanage home, it was pretty good. At least I ate three times a day. And they used to sit. I remember they used to sit at the table, and I would start eating. And the whole other family, they would just stop and watch me. And then they called me and say, oh, your daddy coming to get you. I was like, what the? I don't even know this Negro. Victim. I was a victim. Blamed everybody. It wasn't my fault. It was everybody else's fault. A victim always projecting that energy onto something else. Then we got to go to demon number three, ignorance. So what controls wisdom? The reason why people are ignorant. The demon that controls this whole understanding of what we call wisdom and knowledge is basically ignorance. We just ignore it. It's not that it's not there. I mean, it's crazy. Everything I know there was it's always been available. Like, let's talk health secrets. Like, everybody's talking about keto. That's in now. Y'all know that that's the Atkins diet repackaged, right? Y'all do know that, right? Is anybody know? Oh, y'all youngsters, y'all never heard of Robert Atkins or Bob Atkins? Okay, Google him. The Atkins diet, that was all like in the 80s. There's nothing, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. So, you know, people just ignore truth. Like everything that I'm talking about with Christ eternal within the body, everything that I'm reading, the lost keys of scripture, there was a dude I told you about, you know, Alvin Boyd Kuhn, who wrote some great shizness. Like, and remember I told you about Jethro Kloss back in the 1800s. So all of the books and all of the knowledge that I'm sharing, that stuff was written back in the 16, 17, 1800s. The Pymander, all of the books that's explaining, you know, quote unquote, new, we're in the age of Aquarius. So all of this knowledge. Oh, so you mean Christ means oil and crucified means amplified. So it's the amplification of the oil. That's what this whole religion and Christianity is about. So that's new. No, it's new to us. That shizness ain't new. That was written back in the freaking 1300s, probably before then. You can go all the way back to Egyptology. You can go back to the cuneiform text, back to some Sumer and Samaria. They found that stuff on clay tablets that just got symbols. So it's always been there. Now, people help us be ignorant. The powers that be, they're going to make sure that you don't find those cuneiform texts. They're going to make sure, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found it a long time ago, what, 1947 or whatever? That still hasn't been released to the public. It's underneath the Vatican. Now, they gave us a couple of books out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the whole entire Dead Sea Scrolls that's been transcribed has not been released to the public. I wonder why. Well, you can ask John Allegro. Well, I mean, well, before he had an accident, kind of like, you know, you could have asked Dr. Sabi before, you know, he had an accident. You know, all of that, go to the 25 natural healers. They're all dead. I think it's up to 100 now. Why? Why come anybody come teaching D and not A version, but D version? Why they come up missing? So there's an assertive effort to keep you in the dark, boo-boo. It's not by accident. That's what destroys wisdom. Ignorance. Ignorance is the father, or I should say separation is the father of ignorance, which is the father of wisdom. That's how we control wisdom. And then the last thing is relationship. And relationship is just lack of mutual respect. That's it. So you mean to tell me if you're in a relationship with me but you don't respect me, how can you have been in a relationship with me or anybody else? So all relationship issues, there's a demon that controls, that keep you from relating to somebody. So there is not a person I can relate, and I did when I worked in the prison. Again, all my best friends were like the guy in the Mexican Mafia, dude that killed, I don't know, man, and then he contracted, and he had other people killed and all this stuff. And I remember I used to go to his house after he got out, and he was in a wheelchair, he was an old dude, and I remember young Mexican dudes would come by his house. They'd just walk past his house, and the respect that they gave this dude. Now, they could have spanked him because he's old now. He was all frail and beat up. And I remember going to, now remember, I'm a black dude, and they don't like spear chunkers, in case y'all don't know. But, and I would go into this house because that was my job. And it was just me in the house with a bunch of, you know, Hispanics. Now, if they wanted to smoke me, they probably could have. And they kind of, you know, hinted around to that fact to remind me of, yo, nigga, you know where you at. But then I had to remind them of the fact of, yo, Mexican, you know where you just came from, 30 years. And, you know, if I come up missing, you know you're going back, right? Like, I didn't come over and didn't tell nobody. So fear that produces a lack of respect because you being punked, that causes problems in relationships. Do you know the worst thing that you can do is, I tried it, and I don't know if y'all want to try it or not. I already tried it. I don't recommend it. It's really not good. The worst thing that you can do in a relationship is not bringing something to the table, meaning you go to a relationship and somebody, you are dependent upon somebody and they know it. I don't know what it is about human nature, but it's just something that triggers inside of a person that they got to disrespect you because you're disrespecting yourself because you're not self-sufficient. I don't know, especially if you're a man. Men, I've already tried it. I do not recommend you moving into a house with a woman and be totally dependent upon the woman. I don't recommend you do that, boo-boo. However, I already know you, a lot of people, you got to experience this for yourself. You got to try it out. Now, I'm not mad at you. Because, again, that's how we learn. Like I tell all my kids. Yeah, okay, they tell me, oh, hey, Dad, I'm going to do this. Oh, really? Okay, go right ahead. I never tell my kids, don't do that. Don't try it. I let go, knock yourself out, boo-boo. Just if you get, you know, if you go to jail, call your mama. I come see you, put some money on your books, but that's about it. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. So if you're in a relationship, now, what is a relationship? A relationship, in order to have a relationship with someone else, you must have a relationship with yourself first. Now, see, nobody told me that. I wish, as I was telling my young nephew yesterday, he was upset and he was angry. That's why he was going off. That's why they had to call the cops on him. That's why he was threatening his mama, punching holes in walls. And I was like, hold on, I don't know. I know this little dude. That's not him. Something's off. And I went back and said, oh, man, everybody telling me what to do, man. But ain't nobody freaking telling me how to do it. He was just like, I'm like, yep. That's the same thing happened to me when I was 13. You just catch getting a little bit late. So I sit down and told him, you're a man. You're a black man in America. This is what you got to do. Now, you don't listen now yet. Your mama, she still ain't got no, there's no excuse, but she's a female. A woman can't teach a man how to be a man. A man got to show another man how to be a man. And there was no man that was showing him how to be a man. His mama did the best she can, but she's not a man. So I said, look, boo-boo, this is what you do. Because like most men who don't know nothing about relationships, all of his relationships failed. He didn't understand. Man, I can't get no girl. Man, getting girls is easy. It's a piece of cake. It's a freaking mental disposition. How do you get a girl? Be a man. How do you be a man? Take care of your own shizness. How you take care of your own shizness? Be self-sufficient. Stand on your own freaking 2 feet. You don't need help from the government. You don't need help from your neighbor, your mama, your daddy. You got a phone, pay it. You got a car, pay it. You got insurance, pay it. Take care of your damn self. That's attractive. Self-sufficiency is attractive. And you might want to brush your teeth and comb your hair every once in a while too. That's a relationship. So when you do that and you meet somebody else who's doing that, guess what happens? It's called chemistry. Y'all are attracted to each other. Because y'all got mutual. There's mutual. It's mutual. So if it's not mutual, I don't care what you got. It's fake. It's not real. If you do not respect the person is not going to respect you. And if you disrespect yourself, the person that you are is going to disrespect you. That's what this program that I do teaches. It teaches you how to identify and to remove all your limited negative beliefs. This causes an emotional blockage. on a DNA and a cellular level. So until you over and understand, in order for you to be whole, it starts there. Where? With your DNA. It starts with your spiritual identification. Because right now there is a mental disposition that's in charge. And that mental disposition is not the true cause of wealth, the true cause of health. So you got, like I talked about this morning, you have something in your hand, but you got to release it. You got to do an emotional dump. You got to do a spiritual dump. You got to do a financial dump. So right now you believe you can save your way to wealth. That's what that's what they teach. Now, savings is not bad. Let's not get it twisted. But you're not going to be wealthy saving. I recommend that you produce more than you consume. Just like exercise. You can do a fad diet, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, if you eat more calories than you consume, boo-boo, your ass going to be overweight. I don't care what you do. Now, people come up to me, oh, yeah, but Doc, you understand, brother. I read this great book, and they said you can do this. Okay, yeah, sure, go on out there. Try it. All I know is if you bring in less money than your bills, that dog don't hunt. If you make $1,000 a week and your bills is $1,500 a week, you have something called a problem. You got more bills than money, boo-boo. Now, you can pray, you can fast, you can slap oil on your side, your forehead, you can go see the Reverend Dr. Bishop, you can go to church every Sunday. But guess what's going to happen? You will still have more bills than money until you do something. It's not the Reverend Dr. Bishop's fault. Don't blame it on God. God, you're an able-bodied person. And you mean to tell me you got one job? Like I told my nephew, he had a part-time job. Hey, that's a start. When I was from 18 until about 35, 40, 45, I had three jobs. Three. Two part-time and one full. So you can't talk to me. Now, you can talk to other people, and they're going to buy it because they're going to feel sorry for you. Say, oh, you know, Paul Creeter, life is hard for you, boo-boo. I know your daddy treated you bad, dropped you on your head. Oh, come on over here. Let me take care of you. You know, I feel for that, too. And then guess what happened? You're going to do something, you're going to wear out your welcome. I remember moving into my sister's house. That lasted about 2 weeks. I remember moving to my brother-in-law's house. I tried to leech off everybody, family and non-family. Guess what happens? Oh, boo-boo, you got to go. And then I realized something. I am not self-sufficient. I cannot stand on my own 2 feet. I cannot take care of myself. And I wonder why I cannot be in a relationship with someone else. Because I don't have what is called transformative thinking. Now, transformative thinking makes you whole. This is called cleronomics. Cleronomics is household management of the soul. The soul consists of the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect. You should have control over that. That's how you get immediate measurable results, meaning nothing outside of you should have control over you. Otherwise, you're going to be broken. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be angry. You're going to be everything that we talked about yesterday. So in order for you to, number one, be whole, you got to have transformative thinking. Now, I did an entire series on that. If anybody don't have it, I'll send it to you for free. Just email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Say, Doc, I need that series that you did on transformative thinking. Or, in fact, you can just go to Google, type in the word cleronomics, and then hit enter. Because nobody else has coined that phrase but me. That's also part of the program, is that you should create, if you got a product, service, or information, again, this is how you make real money, not real, I'm talking about real currency, not money. If you go to Google and type in the word cleronomics, spelled cleronomics. Now it's the word cleros and the word economics, and I combined them. It's just like the word Master Teacher 33. Now put it all together. If you go to Google and you type in Master Teacher 33, guess whose information comes up? The only person, me. So what do you have that you've coined that if I search it, only you come up? Oh, you ain't done that yet? Oh, okay, you don't have search engine optimization. Oh, you took a class. Now, people pay $25,000 just for that service alone. I'm giving it to you for free. Go on Google and see how much it costs to get the number one ranking on Google. Go out there and research. See how much they charge. And you paid $1,000 for this course. For 50 books, the search engine optimization is worth $1,000 by itself. There is no man... Let me tone it down a little bit. Platonomics is transformative. You cannot be poor. You cannot be sick. You cannot be ignorant. You cannot be in a bad relationship unless you just want to do it because of some other reasons. It is not cellularly possible because cladonomics changes your DNA. It connects your DNA with your design. It turns what is inside of your DNA. You have something called a codons. They're turned off right now because the frequency that you're sending, the tone in your voice determines the speed of your choice. Your cells don't respond to you because you're not being you. You're fake. Your body knows it, so your body's rejecting you. And your soul is getting ready to leave you if you don't get your shittings together. Because, oh, this fool is killing us, man. We out. Let's go get another body. And then you're going to DYE, and then you're going to go to My Temcosis. I already did that series, too. And you're going to come back. Now, you ain't going to remember shiznits, but you killed the last body. And you're probably going to kill this one, too. DNA, brother, this is about you being authentic. You being real, you falling in love with you. And until you do that, your own body don't listen to you. Everything I'm saying doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is your own voice. If the tone in your voice, a tone is a freaking frequency. It is a wave. Your body is waiting for you to be God. The moment you start talking like God, the moment you start walking like God, the moment you start acting like God, your body says, oh, okay, this Negro knows what he's doing. Let's respond. Your cells will start vibrating on a whole other level. You can call those things that are not as though they were. You write your own freaking script. You don't succumb to the dominant culture's narrative, brother. You write your own narrative. You ain't no little poor black man from Podunk, blankety blank. You're a king. You got keys to your own freaking kingdom. And then you start becoming self-sufficient. You put your shoes on and you stick your chest out. You walk not with pride. You walk with confidence that comes from clarity of purpose. Where there is no purpose, men cast off restraint. They cannot exercise self-control. You show me a man that can't have no self-control, like my little nephew, I'm going to show you a man that ain't got no purpose. That's why I drove down there yesterday and I gave him his freaking purpose. He won't be having no more problems. Because where purpose is known, success is inevitable. You got to be God. Let's reverse engineer the process. If you be God, that means you be good. You be good, you be positive. You be positive, you be happy. You be happy, you be optimistic. You be optimistic, you be whole. One brain. Whole brain thinking. It's no left brain, right brain. You have holistic thinking. The neocortex is activated. The crystal light brain in your skull is activated. That's when you have transformative thinking. That, my brother, that, my sister, comes from the Greek word kleronamos, which means one who has received by lot, by air, and by messianic usage from the forefather, meaning the forefather has downloaded a design into your behind so that way you can shine. Now, I don't know if you want to shine. Now, I remember watching the movie Dark Tower, and the little dude that was playing the movie in Dark Tower, the bad guys was tracking him because of his shine. But you see, your shine will override their behind because, see, your power greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you ain't got to be scarred. So when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, guess what? I don't feel no evil. I have behavioral clarinomics. Now, I know. Some people are like, well, I don't understand, but well, you know, people have like behavioral issues. I love talking to people that have behavioral issues. Like I went down and talked to my little nephew. That little fool having behavioral issues. He got a cursed out his mama, threatening her, punching holes in the walls in the house that he don't even pay rent. Like, hold time out. What? He's still alive? Like, oh, well, thankfully he's still alive because if that had been me, we'd have some serious issues. Now, my children are grown, and they got these things, and that, you know, and my little son, Bijola, you know, as I talked about before, that little fool curses every other word. It's a mother, this, mother, that. But he do that at his house. But he come over to my house, if it get too bad, okay, BJ, up, we got to go, homie. Now, I go over to his house, stay about an hour or so, that's about it. Then I'm out. Because I understand he vibrates different than, but he's grown now. But he was in my house? Oh, no, but that didn't work. You got to understand, because he behavioral issues, that's soul issues. Do you know what behavioral cladonomics, now I've already done the series, behavioral cladonomics is the ability to identify that ruling disposition. Now, let me make sure you understand, because a lot of people have problems. It's like I have behavioral problems, behavioral issues. Nobody could help me. They just recommended, hey, Yeah, food's a medication. He's bipolar. Well, you know, I don't do pharmacare. I don't do sorcery. Thank you very much. I do a lot of things. But yeah, sorcery, I'm sorry. That's not checked out. So behavior cladonomics, and again, this is all based upon emotional intelligence. Now, behavior cladonomics and emotional intelligence is huge. Like, let me put it to you this way, brothers and sisters. Behavioral cladonomics, and again, all of this is inside of Module 1, so all of the members of the life management system, you guys already have this. Kingdom Millionaire Training Center members, you guys already have this. So soul's awareness is the ability to identify your own emotions and those of others. See, right now, other people's emotions is impacting yours. So when I was a cop, they taught us verbal judo. Now, verbal judo, again, mental dynamics. It's a way to handle, you know, crowd control, hostile situations, which is the more people get animated, the less animated you get. Now, that's some great shizness. And it does work. But when you're dealing with demons and daemons, when you're dealing with ruling dispositions, you got to have a little bit more than modern psychology, boo-boo. I'm just saying. So the ability to harness your soul, which is, again, your soul, five components of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, the intellect. Your ability to harness your soul, your ability to manage your own soul, your own mind, your own will, your own emotions, your own imagination, and your own intellect, that's all behavior problems. You show me a man that got behavior problems, I'm going to show you a man that cannot manage. Like, your imagination goes buck wild. We automatically assume the worst. You go to the doctor and he says you got 30 days to live. What happens? What's going to happen to you right now, like for real? If you go to the doctor and he tells you got 30 days to live, what's going to happen with your emotions? What's going to go on inside of your skull? What is your mind going to do? What is your imagination? You're going to imagine yourself all kind of things. First of all, when the doctor was to say that, you should interrupt him. Thank you, doc. I appreciate what you were thinking about saying. That's your opinion. And you're entitled to your opinion. But, you know, doc, opinions is just like booty holes. Everybody got one. So you can keep your opinion. I'm going to go get another one. And that's what I would do. I would go get another opinion. And then I would go get another opinion. And then after that, I would come home and I would consult. Me, my father, we would have a consultation. And now if the forefather advised me that, hey, your purpose is done, you know, you did everything you're supposed to do. It's time for you to go on to the next level. New level, new devil. Oh, okay, we good. But I'm not going nowhere until my purpose is fulfilled. So I have cellular, which is solar. So my soul, my solar plexus, the Christ-lunar germ seed awareness, that's the ability to identify your own emotions from the emotions of other people. If your inside revelation is not more powerful than outside demonstration, then your signal you're sending out is overpowered by the signals that's coming in. So the anti-signal, we're calling for the devil for the sake of argument. He's sending you a signal that says, Negro, you po. Now, you got a choice today. The signal that's coming in is very powerful because the signal is based upon reality. But remember, reality is not real. Reality is an illusion. But it's an illusion because, again, we create this illusion. So you are exactly where you are at because you want to be. So the only question you got to ask is, why do I want to be poor? And then the moment you answer that question, you stop being poor. Guaranteed. Don't believe me. Try it. You're sick because you want to be sick. So that sickness does something for you. You're ignorant because you want to be ignorant. Because remember, satisfaction is the father of ignorance. So you're satisfied. That means you're comfortable. Now remember, comfortable is false. It's false confidence. So you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. So see, I like to get paid, you know, lifetimely. Meaning, I like to get my money for my life all in advance. Hey God, you just give me my about 5, 10, 20 million. That I'm going to accumulate in my life, whatever it is, I'll go and take it at birth, please. Thank you very much. But the Father said that He gives us our bread daily. So see, most of us, we don't like that daily bread. That's called faith. See, we don't like, I talk to a lot of people say, hey, brother, sure, I believe God, but I got faith. Really? Okay. So that means that you walk by faith and not by sight?
Yeah, brother, sure. I mean, you know, praise Jesus.
Really? Okay, yeah, go and quit that corporate job you got.
Well, sure, I'm going to pay my bills, brother.
Well, you said you walk by faith, right? Now, faith, by definition, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that means faith means you got a mental disposition that doesn't match your outside reality. Faith means that you're a millionaire, but your bank account says you're a zero-yonaire. That's faith. Faith means that you have the mental disposition that affords you the lifestyle. All my life, I've been living above my means. My whole family, now again, you can be my kids on here. Anybody that know me, they scratch their head. They say, okay, I don't understand. And this dude, he ain't got no job. When I was poor and homeless, I was the richest homeless dude around. When I was homeless, I had a car. I drove over to LA Fitness. I showered in the morning. I shaved. You know, nobody knew I was homeless until I told them, you homeless? I'm like, yeah. Like, so you don't have a house to go to. So where you sleep? I sleep in my car. I just move around different locations. You know, usually at Walmart or anywhere that's a 24-hour place. And I did that 3 times. But see, mine was more because of making bad choices and stupid decisions, which is most people's. But I didn't like being homeless. So that's what I did. I got out. Okay, how did I get out? Well, I went down. They had a VA program. Are you a veteran? Yes, I'm a veteran. Oh, okay. Well, we like helping homeless veterans. So I signed up. Then I ended up working for them. What was my point? There's a way in to your calamity, and there's also a way out. Remember, it's your calamity. You're not a victim. So somebody would come to me, oh, Paul Creter, now they tried it. When I went there, they said, oh, man, you're a veteran. Are you suffering from PTSD? Are you suffering from this? Are you suffering from that? You know, let's go over and get you some medication, brother. You know, you went to the military. They treated you bad, didn't they, brother? You need that medication. Come on, brother. I know life is hard for you, right? You're a black man in America. Now, I could have been a victim. But I just chose to pull my, you know, oh, thank you very much. Now, even taking that is a little bit of a victim because you have to play the role of the what? The pole creator. So that way you can do what? You can get the benefits. Now, you can continue playing the role. Or at some point in time, you can stop being pole creator and be superhero. And then you start being a blessing to other people. Now I'm in a position to help other people. So I don't need no help. So what am I saying? I'm simply saying that everybody has a choice today. Right now, you got to make that choice. Now, I can't make the choice for you. You got to make that choice for yourself. And I'm telling you, if you make the choice to be whole, if you make the choice to be optimistic, if you make the choice to be happy, if you make the choice to be positive, if you make the choice to be good, if you make the choice to be God, your whole life will change because you're going to identify with the Father. Now, remember, God recognizes other gods. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. God does not respond to non-God. Meaning, remember, God is a frequency. He's a wave. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. God is a Word. Is what I'm doing right now. Speaking. Only gods can do that. So when you speak, and your speech carries intent, only gods can do that. And when you, that's called abracadabra. I create what I freaking speak. And it's not with no voice boxes, with your freaking skull. Your ability to understand how behavioral clairvoyance affects coping mechanisms. It destroys coping mechanisms. Now, we all got them. A coping mechanism allows you to cope with your adversity. And inside of my book, Behavioral Clairvoyance, Effective Coping Mechanisms, and the Key to Permanent Change. Again, that's one of the books that I wrote many, many years ago that breaks down psychology, sociology, pathology, and spirituality. Every one of us, myself included, we all got coping mechanisms. Because coping mechanisms, it gives us the ability to manage or to adapt to the stress. So all addictive behaviors are coping mechanisms. What addictive behavior you got? Okay, you got smoking, you got alcohol, you know, cheating, gambling, being aggressive, gluttony. What else? Self-blaming. What about cutting? All of that does what? It gives you the ability to manage and to adapt to the stress instead of changing the stress. So you identify that you say, okay, doc, I'm gonna be whole, Holmes. I'm gonna be optimistic. I'm gonna be happy. I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna be God. The moment you say that, Slewy Louie is gonna make sure that you have a coping mechanism. The change that you make is going from, let's say you're homeless, you go from homeless to being in an environment that tolerates you, but it doesn't elevate you. You will put yourself there voluntarily. You will automatically go to a place where you think, because again, you're still thinking. Remember what we talked about yesterday? Yesterday, you're broken. If you think you're broken, that means you think you need to be fixed. And if you think you need to be fixed, you think you need help. So you're going to go to your mama's house. You're going to go to your daddy's house. You're going to go to Uncle Tommy's house. You're going to go somewhere where somebody can fix you. You're going to voluntarily go, just like I did and everybody else did. Then, maybe not today, but one day, my brother, one day, my sister, you're going to realize you do not need that environment so that way you can cope. One day, you're going to put your big boy drawers on. You ain't going to call nobody. You're going to figure out whatever issue you got going on yourself. And that day, that's when you become a demon hunter. That when you become a witch hunter. That's when you become like Yahushua. That when you walk into a room, are everybody in the room going to say, man, why did he come to torment us before our time? They're not going to like you. You're not going to have a lot of friends. It's lonely. Why? Because now you're going to understand therupo. That's called spiritual therapeutics. Once you understand, not therapy, therupo. Once you get to therupo, what I do, what I teach, once you put that tone in your voice that comes from confidence, that comes from clarity, that comes from purpose, that comes from your God-given design, that turns on your DNA, it activates the new clay or the nucleus inside of your cells, so your cells start producing the new spiritual you, it activates the crystal light body, it activates your crystal light brain, you start communicating with the forefather, which is multidimensional, meaning you don't get your information from no book, you don't get your information from no reverend, no doctor, no bishop. You go straight to source self. There is no more mediator between God and man. Save son. Once you do that, brother, once you do that, sister, oh, your dog hunts 24/7, 365. You're going to know shit that you don't even know. You're going to be like, damn, how did I know that? You'll be able to pull money out of thin air because your current is current. Let me close with a secret to life. For me, this may not do nothing for you. But every morning I wake up, my toes are curled. Sometimes I have to put myself in timeout. Sometimes I'm too happy. I got to tone it down because people don't like people that are happy. I say it all the time. I go to the gym sometime, man, and I'll just be over there pumping away on my doing my little thing, and then somebody walk by like, man, what is it you in here? Even the guy at the counter, this guy introduced himself, his name Trevor. And I'll come back like for the third time. And he say, "Oh, dude, you might as well just get a blanket and just stay in the back. Why are you always here?" And I be like, "I like it here. They said I work here. They pay me, and I don't even like being here. You hear more than me." And he's trying to figure me out. He's like, "What does this fool do? Why is he so damn happy all the time? Why is he smiling?" I went to get some food this morning for the wife on the way back from the gym. The lady at the window, she's there every morning. She recognized him, said the same thing. And she said, "Why are you so happy?" Remember I told you guys when I went to, back then, you know, when the wife used to drink coffee, and I went to Starbucks, and the lady was like, "Man, every time I like when you come to the drive-thru because your voice cheers me up." See, everybody's pissed off. Everybody's angry. When I'm driving around in my car, I just people watch. And I look at people's faces while they're driving. Just try it. Just today. When you're driving home today, wherever you drive today, look at the faces of people while they're driving. Just look at their face. Oh, man. There's a lot of angry people out here. And if you don't believe me, just cut somebody off in traffic and watch what happens. I had an old lady one time. I was like, "This lady can barely fucking see. Yes, I remember. She about to pass out." And I'm like, "What the lady? I ain't do nothing. She wanted to beat me with a cane." Why is everybody pissed off? Why is everybody so angry? Everybody's angry. Everybody's upset. Everybody's pissed off, but the question is why? Why aren't you beaming and bonding with God? You see, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, very, very few people have the ability to turn on their DNA. Now, I've researched a lot of stuff in my day. I was the most religious zealot on the planet. I haven't met anybody. I know that they're out there. I just have not met anyone that was more of a religious idiot than me. I've not met them. And I've met a lot of zealous people. But I've never met anybody that was in the mental position that I was in. That when I think back, I get really nervous because I know that there are people out there that are like I used to be. That they will actually physically harm you if you do not believe what they believe. I know. Because that used to be me. Because I believed, I had no facts, I had no proof. I just had zeal, but I had no knowledge. But the reason I had so much zeal but was because I had so much problems. And like my little nephew, I was a very angry man. The reason that I was angry, because nobody could give me a step-by-step process to get from point A to point B. Nobody. People who had figured it out, especially if they were black, they wouldn't tell him. They wasn't talking. Now, find a black guy that's got a lot of money and ask him, hey, man, how'd you get your money? Teach me how you got your money. Know what he's going to tell you? Oh, youngster, you know, you got to figure it out on your own, man. Or he's going to tell you something like this. Oh, just invest in stock. Or just buy real estate. I just flipped houses, man. Or just, hey, go to school. Oh, okay, I can't even pass the entry exam to get into school. I ain't got the money to pay for school. Notice they never tell you how to do it. Even when they tell you what they did, they don't sit down and tell you step by step how they did it. If you meet a guy who flipped houses, he goes, yeah, I flipped houses. Okay, how did you buy your first house with no job, with no credit, with no money? How did you do that? Now, all of that I've already done, and I have inside of my course, Poor Man's Guide to Real Estate. I've already did all that. No job, no credit, all that stuff. I've already done it, and I break it down step by step. So now I'm making money online. Now, I already wrote down 30 steps in 30 days where it takes you step by step to do exactly what I did to get online and to get your first product up and running and start building your tribe and your vibe. So I've already done. So what I did is what I wished someone had did for me. So I put myself in your shoes or in somebody else's shoes, and I asked the forefather, Father, this morning when I woke up, I asked the forefather, before I do every show, I asked the forefather, Father, what can I say today that can help someone else and benefit somebody else more than it benefits me? Every show I do, I try to say something that's going to benefit you, that's going to help you move forward in life, because there's a whole bunch of obstacles that keep you from moving forward. If I just say, hey, man, don't brush your teeth with fluoride, I just help somebody. If I say, hey, dude, man, you know, think about, you know, rotate. Yeah, I'm not saying just drink distilled water, but you want to add it into your water intake because it's dead water. And then the benefits of dead water is huge because it's empty. The water molecule is empty and it's declustered. It helps to remove mucus out the body. I just help somebody. I say, hey, man, don't go out and get that honey glazed ham, man. You know, if you do it, you know, I understand. But you want to make sure that you get it out your body, man, because if you eat sugar and protein at the same time, the body cannot absorb. It's going to take the simplest complex, either the simple molecule, and it's going to reject the complex. So it's not going to do you any good. And your stomach is going to cause acid indigestion, blah, 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 blah. So the point is to say something that's going to help somebody. It's a process, brothers and sisters. The goal is not the point. The point is, can you tell me something today that's going to help me in my process or what I call a journey? So today, brothers and sisters, what I want you to do is help somebody in their process. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, when you see somebody and they're struggling, especially if they ask. Now, if they don't ask, no harm, no foul. But if someone asks you something take your time out, like I do when I go to the gym, and they ask, hey, man, I know it's, you know, how do you do this? How do you do it? Even though it interrupts my workout and I complain about it, I stop and I tell them, yo, whippersnapper, when you're doing that bench press and you drop your elbow past your armpit, bro, you just shifted all that weight from your pecs to your delt. And your deltoid muscle is half the size of your pec. And when you do that, I'm telling you, you're gonna blow out your whole armpit. You're gonna cause injury. You're gonna mess up your rotator cuff. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that. That just took a few seconds out of my time. All I'm simply saying, brothers and sisters, help someone else across the street. And because you're going there anyway, and you're gonna find out, you're helping yourself at the same time. The key to happiness is actually very simple. It's the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When I was poor, all I wanted somebody to do was just explain to me very simply, how do I be able to pay my bills on time? And everybody told me, good job. Very few people talked to me about my mindset. And it wasn't until I got my mind right that I got my finances right. If you are not current, you will have no chi. That's why it's called current chi or currency. Again, let me close with my secret. If you're not current, current means present. Current means prevailing. Current means useful circulation. Current means knowledge that, when applied, brings about an acceptable conclusion or result. Let me say that again. If you're not current, you have no chi. Chi is the animating principle of the body. You show me a man that is, quote unquote, lazy, I'm going to show you a man that doesn't believe that he's relevant. He doesn't believe that his knowledge is acceptable. He doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't believe that there is a continuous flowing movement, like in a water or a lake. There is a circuit. He doesn't have a circuit, meaning he doesn't have a step-by-step-by-step formula that keeps him moving. When I talk to my nephew, why are you angry, man? Why are you doing all this stuff? This adult, man, everybody keep getting in my face, man. They typically telling me, man, go get a job. You need to get your own stuff. But nobody, man, nobody is giving me a present system that takes me step by step to an acceptable conclusion. It's a continuous kirka, circle, or church. That is the definition of the church. The church should be taking you to a conclusion that is acceptable to you in a step by step formula. It is a guide. If you can assist people by taking them step by step, whatever you got. That's why I say people like, I encourage people, especially people like, you know, who are in a place where they have some knowledge, regardless of what it is. You may think it's not valuable, but I'm telling you, there's some people that just don't know. I don't know what Sister Ella knows when it comes to eating vegan. I don't know. I don't know what recipe. I know I like to. I want to eat healthy, but sometimes I can't. I don't know. I run out of healthy ideals. I was telling Sister Martinette, like, hey, sis, where's your cookbook at? Why? Because I need to buy it. I don't know what to cook. I mean, I want to cook vegan, but I get tired of just eating lettuce, you know, chopped bell peppers and onion. I need some herbs. I need some spices. I need something to, you know, to add it up. I don't, you know, and I'm too busy doing my purpose. But if someone steps up and does their purpose, hey, iron sharpens iron. So if you present means the presentation of something that is relevant, that is acceptable, that allows me to move my lot forward. That's current, that activates my chi. Chi is the animating principle of the body. It brings about a continuous flow of movement. I guarantee you, your man, your woman, your cat, your dog, your children will move if you give them something, remember, it has to be acceptable for them. So if you meet somebody that they're not a vegan, and if you're giving them a vegan recipe, that's not acceptable to them. You got to present them with something that's acceptable to them where they are at right now. That will assist them from getting where they are at to point B, then to point C, then to point D. It moves them along. The moment that you do that, you become relevant. When you become relevant, that's when you get paid currency or currency. So every morning I wake up, I have one question for myself. Self, what can you say today that's freaking relevant, that's current, that when somebody hear it, it moves them. It makes their body, oh, I'm going to get up. But Brother Will said, if you do this, that, and that, let me go try it and see. It animates the body. Say animating things. Don't talk to me about the weather, about the sports, about what Uncle Tom did, about who, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, or what's going on in Love and Hip Hop. That doesn't move me forward, man. Move me, make me wealthier. Make me healthier. Make me wiser. Make me be able to maintain better relationships. If you say something that will move me forward in the area of those four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, I'm going to go in my pocket. I'm going to take out my currency because I have no problem paying for it because it is helping me. It's moving me forward. That's currency. Currency moves people forward. Move people forward by first moving yourself forward. By how are we going to do that, Brother Will? Be God. Be good. Be positive. Be happy. Be optimistic. Be holistic. If you do that, I guarantee you, as the forefather is my witness, if you be love, because God is love, if you be love, and it's going to be hard because there's going to be a lot of unlovable people in your circle. I don't care. Be love to them. Be good. Be positive. Be happy. Be regardless of what they say. It's not about them. It's about you maintaining that tone in your voice. If you maintain that tone in your voice, that determines the speed of your choice. Things happen fast in my life because I got tone in my voice. I got dunamis power in my voice. I'm excited about being good. I'm excited about being God because God is inside of me. He's operating as me, and he's manifesting himself through me. I'm not waiting to die to go to heaven. I'm already in heaven. I'm not waiting to meet God in the by and by. I am God. God is in me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one because I'm on the same frequency and the same wave as God. The moment that you do that and the way that you do that is by making a choice to be good, to extend goodness. Now, a lot of people are going to be angry. They're going to be pissed off. Why are you helping that dude? Why are you being nice to him or her? Isn't that the same person? Don't they owe you money? But you still extend grace to them because your Father, your forefather extended grace to you. Be God, brothers. Be good, sisters. Be positive. Be happy. Be optimistic. And you will own the whole world, guaranteed. Because the Father, the forefather, that's what he says. And he honors his word above his own name. Brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. He has the name written on his thigh that no man or woman can pronounce. May the sun, may the ruach, may the numa, may the animating principle of the body continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or try to con you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my beautiful sisters, I will make no doubt about it. I will see you in eternity. God bless.
Yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues. So faithful, better watch out for them fake fools and snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude. We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground. It's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog. When I grace flow, started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, mind is like a deep mine that's full of gold. Better dig it out before the time.
calico, I'm Alamo. I'm standing here to make my stand until I go. Why you acting like a hater? Oh, I'm so intangible. Look it up, get some vocab in your bloody manifold. I've been making these records like I'm very mental. Ain't no telling when you fall on something, how the man will grow. Ain't no telling how you make your wealth and how the plan will show. All the people had to climb up out they mental catacombs. I'm a sellout at the drone, rapping with a megaphone. I'm a god up on this microphone, I came to raise a tone. Vibrating in a mega zone with my metronome. I'm so loyal, I can't